Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome to Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I am Robin Salverson, cow-calf field specialist living the life in Lemon, South Dakota. I am joined by Dr. Poole, and she's an assistant professor with Texas A&M University. So welcome, Dr. Poole, to this episode. I understand most of your research actually revolves around the long-term goal of optimizing fertility in livestock. So I know there's been quite a bit of work done in the rumen microbiome within livestock. However, during this episode, we're really kind of focusing our time around the uterine biome and that relationship to fertility. And for those listeners out there, that word biome is kind of scary. What does that mean?
Well, thanks so much, Robin, for having me. It's really great to have this invitation and talk to you about some of my work. So yeah, biome is a scary word, but really it's just referring to an ecological environment. So in other words, it's just referring to a particular type of environment that a specific community can thrive in. So, you know, I'll give you an example. You brought up rumen microbiome. So microbiome is just referring to the environment that microbes can live in. And then if you just add the rumen part to it, it's just the microbes that can live and thrive in the microbes that can live and thrive in the rumen. And so the same is true for the vagina or the uterus. There are microbiomes for both the vagina, the uterus, or any type of organ in the body.
And so a lot of the times when doing some research on this, you know, in the world of raising animals, bacteria is a bad word. I mean, you know, like that, you know, that calf has a particular bout. But when you look at the biome, bacteria is not necessarily bad, right? I mean, depending on what bacteria it is. Is that correct?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, for a long time, bacteria, when you combine bacteria and the reproductive system, that's scary, you know, and rightfully so. You know, we do know there are bad bacteria that cause some nasty diseases and uterine infections. And so that's 100% true. But now that technology is getting better, we're able to actually pinpoint some of those bacteria that actually aren't that bad and should be there in maybe the uterus, because they play a function for the uterus. So they may actually play a important role for the uterus to establish a pregnancy, for example. And so, you know, a lot of those bacteria that were characterized as bad, that's just because we were limited by the technology at the time. We could only culture, you know, take a swab and do cultures in the lab and have bacteria grow on a plate. And, you know, typically those are some of the more, quote, bad bacteria. And so now we're actually trying, you know, using some more sophisticated technology, actually being able to sift out good versus bad and those kinds of things.
So this doesn't give the opportunity for people that AI to just go and be unsanitary. This whole conversation, we still need to think about that when we're trying to get cows bred, and sanitation is extremely critical. But understanding, like you said, there's certain bacteria that actually help us within the fertility side of things. So
yeah, absolutely.
So why should ranchers really be concerned about the uterine biome or the vaginal biome? Why should the producers be thinking about this?
Well, I think, you know, that's a great question. And it goes back to what we were just talking about. One, knowing that not all bacteria is bad. So knowing that there are resident bacteria in the reproductive system that are good and should be there. And two, because the technology is improving and we're getting better at knowing what those good bacteria are, so that we can actually, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, actually have something implementable for producers to be able to, quote, shift the microbiome to something that would be helpful for establishing a pregnancy or something along those lines. And so I think, you know, it for producers right now, it's really just knowing that bacteria in the reproductive tract, not a bad thing always, not always a bad thing at least, and that we are the technology is ever improving, that we're actually trying to find ways to have implementable strategies on farm.
So you'd mentioned maybe 5 to 10 years. You can't confirm that, and I get
Yeah.
that. No way.
Yeah.
However, it is really promising for our producers that there could be something to help us better understand fertility, A, and then also then maybe, like you said, help them shift, maybe shift that biome to benefit, a higher conception rate. And so, I have to admit, so what does a good uterine biome look like? Through your research, what have you found?
Well, unfortunately, as far as what is a good microbiome, we're still trying to figure that out. I think we're actually really good at figuring out what the bad microbiome looks like. It's easier to find the bad bacteria because then you see a uterine infection or something. It's easier to find those guys. It's harder to find, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's harder to find the good ones that we want there. And then on top of that, it's harder to find, okay, what are ways that we can shift that population to those good bacteria? That's kind of where my research is looking at, one, finding those good bacteria, identifying them, and then two, finding ways to easily, implementably, shift it towards those good bacteria. And I'll just kind of add a side note for cattle in particular, they are particularly tricky as far as finding a good bacteria because, unlike some other species like humans, so humans, we have microbiomes as well in all of our systems. For humans, for the reproductive side of things, there really is only one type of bacteria that is good, and it's the overwhelmingly dominant bacteria in the reproductive system. So it's easier to shift it towards that one type of bacteria. For cattle, it seems like they have a lot more bacteria in the reproductive system, and it's harder to say, are these all the ones we want there, or is it just a few? They have a lot more, and so it's harder. Again, like I said, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's harder to pinpoint this is the one, or these are the few that actually are the game changers, the good ones. So it is a lot harder.
So you've said that's what you're working on within your research, and they're at Texas A&M. Can you share some more highlights from your research and how, like you said, you've been trying to identify, it's harder, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But what are some of those things that you are finding that are like, wow, this is super cool, and this can really help our producers in the future?
Sure. So one thing my research highlights is what are things that are changing the microbiome or shifting the microbiome. And one thing we do know is that depending on where she is in her estrous cycle or where she is in her cyclicity, that changes what her microbiome looks like. So her microbiome at ovulation, when she is ovulating or in heat, looks quite different than 2 weeks prior when she's not in heat. They actually do look very different in the bacteria that are there. And that's we think maybe hormone driven. You have different hormones when she's ovulating versus when she's not. So we think that could play a role. We also think that these hormones also change the immune system. And we know when you think of bacteria or microbes, the immune system kind of goes hand in hand with that. So the immune system helps control, which ones should be there, which ones shouldn't be there. And so that's kind of it's tying together the hormones that are naturally circulating in the animal, the immune system, and then the microbes that are there. And so that's kind of the highlight of my research right now. And so it's interesting. You can't just compare the microbiome when she's in heat versus when she's not in heat. They actually look very different. And so that's probably the biggest highlight right now.
So, based on your current research and what you're doing, where does your future research lead you then in this world of microbiomes?
So I think When I think of hormones and I think of, shifting it, I think my first thought is estrous synchronization and how does using the tools that we already have on farm, like these hormones we're giving to change, what structure she has on the ovary or using a seeder, things like that. How is that changing the microbiome? And is it a good thing? Are we shifting it in the right way to optimize fertility and optimize the likelihood she's going to get pregnant? So not just thinking about, just, having her in heat, but is she also reshifting those bacteria in a positive way that also increases the likelihood that a pregnancy will occur?
So, within the research of the rumen biome and microbiome, obviously a lot of management things that producers do affect that. So, does that hold true somewhat in what you're saying when it comes to this estrous synchronization? Is that basically what you're saying is how we're, like you said, the microbiome changes whether they're in heat or not in heat? And so, what we're doing to those animals when we're synchronizing them could be impacting them. Is that
Yeah,
or no?
if yeah, I'll use your example of the rumen microbiome. So we
Okay.
know that if you feed different things, you feed a high grain versus a high forage diet, that's going to change the microbiome in the rumen. But it's also one of the microbiome, whether you're talking, let's say, about the rumen microbiome, it's pretty resilient in that there's a core microbiome, one that should always be in the rumen. And then when you shift it one way or shift it another way, over time it'll revert back to its natural state, what it should be. And so if you want to maintain a consistent change or shift in the microbiome, let's say you would have to continuously feed a high grain diet or something like that to continuously see the change in the microbiome. It's not as though you could feed high grain diet one day and it's always changed. It will revert back to its original rumen microbiome state. Does that make sense?
Yes, this sure does.
Yeah, so it's the same idea with the reproductive or the vaginal or uterine microbiome. It's ebbs and flows. It'll shift this way and then it'll shift back another way, depending on what is happening. So for example, if you put a seeder in, that'll change the microbiome of the vagina. But after you pull the seeder 2 days later, it reverts back to what it looked like before you put the seeder in. So the seeder doesn't continuously alter it forever. It the microbiome it that those core bacteria that should be there, they'll come back and they'll kind of populate that microbiome over time.
So is the biome that we have in our vagina is different than what we have in the uterus, correct?
And that's just because that the cervix that we're all used to, we have to pass the rod through the cervix, that it does separate those two environments to where the uterus and the vagina do look quite different.
So with that being said, the vagina probably is, I'm going to use the word less sterile very loosely. It probably has more bacteria in versus the uterus, right?
Yes,
So
that is very true.
those young heifers, those virgin heifers, does their microbiome change over time from, like you said, they always goes back to kind of that status quo for a microbiome, but do you see it changing? Have you looked at them in young calves to when they are cows? And how does that change the microbiome? Or
That's a great question. I think, yeah, I think if you look at a heifer, her microbiome in the uterus is going to look a little different than, now when she's a postpartum cow and afterwards. It's going to look a little different. It could just be slight changes in certain bacteria. And so, but I don't know. I have not done that kind of research to track a female over her lifetime. What is it like here? And then, after subsequent pregnancies, I have not looked at that, but I wouldn't be surprised if you do see some changes. And then I think, that's interesting. Just that would be really something interesting to look at. How does it change over time? What does it look like in a virgin heifer? She hasn't had anything. She had no the uterus has had no quote exposure. And so, what does it look like? How much does it change? I think those are that would be really interesting to look at. For most of my research, I do focus on either heifer or postpartum cow. I don't really combine them together because they do look quite different.
Different.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new research in this world of the uterine biome that can be done yet. You're just starting to kind of chip away at it,
That's
and that's
right. So,
really exciting.
yeah, hopefully a long and fruitful career.
That's right. So when we think about the female reproductive tract and in conception, the uterine microbiome is affecting, I'm sure, affecting fertilization, it's affecting implantation, things like that. But that sperm, I'm assuming, is also being impacted by that uterine microbiome. Is that correct? As whether it's through natural service or through artificial insemination, is, yeah.
Yeah, so this has always been a question that I, and another question I want to chip away at and better understand. I think, yeah, is the uterine microbiome, is it impacting the sperm's ability to do their job? And I think it, yes, perhaps if I had to take a stab at it, because it kind of goes back to the immune system. So let's say within the uterus, something happened where a few bad bacteria got in there before insemination, and so the immune system kicks on to help fight some of those bacteria that shouldn't be there. Well, if the immune system's already kicked on and you inseminate, well, now the immune system's going to further attack those sperm cells more so than they already would have. And so perhaps it's it would act. And so in that regard, it's not necessarily the microbes that are impacting the sperm cells. It's the microbes impacting the immune system that then impact the sperm
Impact it.
cells to do their job. That's how I see it, at least. And that's kind of my approach, is incorporating the immune system and how it is impacting something like fertilization or sperm in the female tract. And another thing, kind of another layer on top of this, especially when you think of natural service, is the semen has its own microbiome. And so what is the combination of the semen microbiome and the vaginal and uterine microbiome? What does that look like? Does there need to be compatibility between the microbiomes? I don't know. But that's something I'm also interested in. Is that another part of the story?
Yeah, it takes both the female and the male side to make a pregnancy.
That's
So
right. We always like to focus on the female, but we can't forget the male. The semen also has a microbiome, and it also serves a function. And so that's also something in the back of my mind for research purposes.
yeah, that's really interesting. You're absolutely right. And when we teach AI schools, a lot of people are really surprised when we say that sperm are a foreign object to that female, and so that immune response may kick in. And so, and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? That's why we have to do diligence and everything, each step of our AI process, because there's things we can't control. And what's interesting right now is what you're talking about is that biome plays a factor into fertility. And at this point in time, we're just understanding that biome and what is good and what is bad. And into the future, hopefully we can start shifting that biome, if I kind of got that.
Once we actually nail down, okay, this is what an ideal microbiome looks like when she's in heat. What can we do while we're synchronizing her to ensure that microbiome occurs at when she's in heat, when we would want to AI or turn her out with a bowl or something like that? And so that's kind of, yeah, the area or the way I'd like to go with my research.
So I'm just going to go back quickly to the sperm microbiome. How much work has been done in that area and understanding the microbiome of the male side of things?
Far less. Us as reproductive physiologists, we're guilty of focusing on the female quite a bit. We and rightfully so, right? She's the one who has to carry the pregnancy and nurse the calf and so on and so forth. So rightfully so, we do focus on the female And we kind of forget about the male a little bit. So not much, but a redemption arc is coming for the male. We're starting to look more in the microbiome, because when we think of also bacteria in semen, a bad thing, right? We add antibiotics in, when we extend semen or something like that. But maybe we need to take a step back. What if some of these antibiotics we're adding are disrupting some of the microbes that should be in semen? I don't know. Obviously we do want to get rid of any contaminant bacteria, the bad ones, certainly. So antibiotics do play a role in that, but we're taking a back step and trying to figure out, for the semen microbiome, what bacteria should be there? Where do they come from? Do they come from the male reproductive tract, or not? And how did those impact the sperm cells and things like that? So yeah, there have starting to be some research in that world as well, and looking at the male side of things.
Well, like you said, you have a long and fruitful career in front of you.
I certainly hope so.
So I think it's about time we wrap up this episode of Cattle HQ, but is there any last thoughts, any last comments that you have before we close this down?
The only thing I'd say is, for producers, keep doing what you're doing. If it's working, it's working. But know that don't forget the little guys. Don't forget the bacteria. They are playing a bigger role than you think. And hopefully in the near future, we'll have something out there that can really help out.
Well, I very much appreciate having you on this episode of Cattle HQ, Dr. Poole. You explained the word microbiome, that to me is a very scary word. You explained it so well that it's no longer scary. So,
Good.
but I do appreciate having you and joining us from Texas and sharing your information with us. So, once again, this has been Cattle HQ brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Visit extension.ststate.edu for the latest beef information. Until our next episode, remember, there is always a reason to smile.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal, it's a byproduct.